starting at forward, a senior from Rochester, New York, number 12, Rachel Curtis. During this episode of Vertical View, I will ask number 12, Rachel Curtis, 12 questions about becoming, being, and formerly being a student athlete. In her senior year, Rachel started all 15 games for Southern Wesleyan University's women's soccer team. Her year was highlighted by recording 2 goals and 1 assist, including the game-winning goal over Erskine College to advance her Warriors to the Conference Carolinas Championship Tournament. So if you are ready, I know I am, let's get vertical. Welcome back into the Vertical View. With me is Rachel Curtis, and we're going to ask Rachel 12 questions and talk about becoming, being, and formerly a college athlete. So, Rachel, welcome in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's jump right into question 1.
All right.
If you were to tell us what your favorite television show or what you just watched on Netflix, what would it be?
Either NCIS or Law and Order SVU.
All right, so both in the law or police genre.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who's your favorite character in either of those shows?
Yeah, so for NCIS, it's definitely Gibbs. He's like the older guy in it. Fell in love with him when I was like 8 years old. And I've loved the show ever since. And then... for SVU, probably Olivia Benson, just because she's like amazing. She's like such a strong woman. I like love that.
Love that too. All right, so people want to know, what is your middle name?
All right, my middle name is Faith. And then it's actually kind of cool because my mom's first name is Charity. And then my sister's middle name is Hope. So it's Faith, Hope, and Charity.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. So you're originally from where? And there's some significance to a tattoo that you have.
Yeah. So I am born and raised in Rochester, New York. And one of the tattoos I have is on my right forearm is the coordinates to like the center of like down Chester. And then right in between it, it has the logo for the city. And I got that right after my freshman year of college because I realized how much I missed home and stuff. And I was like, I'm going to get a Rochester tattoo. So, yeah.
Well, I love, though, that so many tattoos don't have significance.
Yeah, yeah.
They all have a story, but they may not have any depth to them. So
you're not wrong.
Well done with that.
Thanks.
So, Rachel, you are from what I know about you, a lifelong athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, back in the beginning, who introduced you to sports?
That's quite tough because I would say, like, my mom and dad definitely tried to get me to try everything. Before the age of, like, 8, I had done soccer, basketball, softball. You know, they were just trying to get me, like, a feel for everything, trying to see if I'm, like, you know, liked one or the other, but the problem was I liked everything. And I thought I was pretty decent at most of them, too. So I was like, oh, this is fun. it wasn't until I was about 8 or 9 years old and I was at a sleepover. It was complete accident that this happened. And I was at a sleepover with a friend who played travel or, like, club soccer. So, like, way more competitive than what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And we woke up the next morning. It was a Saturday. And she's like, oh, my gosh, like, I forgot, like, we have to go to soccer practice before we can go to dance class because we were in dance together. And I was like, okay, like, it's okay. And then her dad, who, I don't know if you know, James Morton, he went to Roberts. Yeah, so he went to Roberts, and he was just like, well, Rachel, do you want to, like, play with us? And I was like, sure. And so I remember it was kind of like my little tryout. Next thing I know, I get home, I'm calling my mom and asking them if I can play travel soccer year-round. So that's not how that happened.
That's such a great story, and it fits your personality because you're right. You are the type of person who likes to try almost anything. Oh, and if I can dare say this, You do think you're good at most things.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, so talk about then from the early days of that first travel soccer practice to how did you get to the collegiate level? Like, what did it take?
I was about 9 years old when I started playing travel or like competitive soccer. And I think I was about 12 when I fully committed to like just soccer. I was like, you know, I'm done with all those other, you know, anything like that. I'm just going to commit because I feel like maybe I could, you know, get a scholarship and help my parents out, pay for college. I enjoy playing, like, why not? And so from there, that's kind of where my commitment started. And I left the team I was playing for. They go play like little more competitive teams. And then eighth grade came around and I was still homeschooled at the time. And in the homeschool area, like there wasn't a lot of like opportunities for me to get like my name out and colleges to notice me. So I was kind of like, hey, mom and dad, like I want to go to school. My brother had just went to school the year before to play football. And I was like, I want to do it. Like, I want to go play soccer at a school. They were like, okay. And so eighth grade was my first year at a private school where I ended up graduating from. And I made the varsity team in eighth grade. And from there, it kind of just like skyrocketed. Like, that's where I was like, I'm going to get my name out. I'm going to start applying. I'm going to like practice 24/7. However, around like ninth grade or eighth grade, my commitment to just soccer kind of went away because I started playing basketball for the school. I started playing softball for the school. And I was like, maybe I'll play everything in college. And I think I was like back there, but it's fine. It was great that I played a lot of other sports, you know, it kind of like, shaped me as a full athlete for sure. So that's pretty much where I, like, my commitment started and like where my journey to the college level kind of occurred.
So in some ways your brother then was the bridge maybe to you moving from homeschool to private school.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a great athlete. He played baseball, football, and he was like the star QB, you know, like, so he was good. And I was like, I want
to
do that. I want, you know, those opportunities. So yeah, for sure. Aaron definitely helped with that.
And you certainly made a name for yourself, both at that school, the private school in Rochester, but also at Southern Wesleyan. And we'll get into that in just a bit. But being an athlete sometimes to the outsider seems very luxurious and just awesome.
Yeah.
But there's also struggles that come with being a student athlete. What would you share maybe? What would you be willing to share about some of the struggles of being a student athlete?
Yeah, so I think that high school, if you are deciding to go play collegiately, you can learn a lot of things in high school beforehand. And most of those struggles come from time management. If you're not a great time manager, you're going to struggle. Because sports takes up so much time of the day. Like, it's almost like your full-time job, pretty much. And so if you don't have a good time management with your academics and your sports and your social life, because it's important to keep that, then you can definitely find some struggles. So I think in high school, it's important for young student athletes to really get their time management down, because once you go to, you know, college level, it's going to be even worse. And so definitely time management was definitely a struggle. And I think I got that down in high school because I really didn't struggle that much with it in college, thankfully. So definitely time management, and then just your like work ethic. A lot of days you don't want to go to work. You don't want to, you know, get on the line and run those suicides. And so just getting like that passion and like remembering why you're doing things, that's sometimes a struggle to remember, you know, why am I out here right now? You know, so that's a big thing.
So those are great examples.
Yeah.
Really great examples. So let's go to something maybe more positive about your playing days. What would be one of your favorite memories, maybe from when you were 9 to 19?
Oh, this is tough. I was thinking about this because I don't know if like I have just like one favorite one for sure, but it actually comes in high school. It was my last ever regular season game before playoffs, senior year. And I had the awesome opportunity of having my sister play on the team with me for a couple of years. I definitely forced her to play with me. I was like, you're playing with me, we're going to have a great time. And she was actually pretty good. But if you know anything about Sarah, she's like, I'm playing defense. I'm not playing what you're playing, and I'm going to wreck you in practice. And I was like, okay.
That's great.
That's just her for you. And so I was like, all right, let's do it. And I just remember this one game we were supposed to lose. We were out in the southern tier. So it was cold and rainy, and I'm pretty sure it started snowing because that's New York for you.
I'm sure it did.
And the mountains were around. So, like, just to see, perfect. It was under the lights, and it was their senior homecoming, and I was like, oh, my gosh, guys, we're going to lose this game. Like, we're not supposed to win. And no, long story short, we ended up winning. But my favorite moment about that game was there was about 5 minutes left in the game, and my sister, she played me the most beautiful ball I think I've ever seen in my life. And it was, like, right to my feet, took one touch, and I shot from, like, 20 yards out, whatever. It went in. And we all just dogpiled in the rain. It was, like, the best moment ever. And I was just like, my sister was like, did you see that? So that was
that's great. Excellent.
Yeah, that was a great moment, for sure.
And it might be one of her most favorite moments,
she's
too.
She's definitely told me that. She's like, I just play that game every day. I'm like, I know.
So let's just be clear. She likely put the pass on your right foot.
No, the pass was put to my left foot, and I took the touch in behind, and I shot with my right foot. So, yes.
Excellent. Coach Morrell would be proud of you.
I hope so.
Well, let's move it to the next piece here, and it's the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many student athletes, both at the high school level and the collegiate level, have been impacted by the pandemic, COVID-19. How has it or did it impact student athletes where you were at Southern Wesleyan?
Mm-hmm.
And then specifically, how did it change your senior year?
Yeah, so like you were saying, it affected both high school and college. And it didn't affect me anyway for my sports collegiately, thankfully, because we were already done. You know, we had finished in about November, and I was, you know, officially in retirement. So that was good that it didn't really affect me. But I had a lot of friends here at SWU that, you know, their season was gone. I have a lot of senior friends here, and they're just like, it's done. And that was really hard for me. I was just like, to try and like comfort them, because I'm like, I couldn't imagine. Like, I'm very thankful that I was able to play my last season. But that was definitely tough for them. And just like seeing so many of my friends be like, it's done. Like, we worked all year for this. And I'm like, dang, I couldn't imagine, you know. But
or in some cases, they've worked their whole life for it.
Absolutely. And that's just killer. Right. I was like, wow. And then, like you're saying, the high school level, I actually had the opportunity of coaching this year at the high school level, at a local high school. And, you know, our season, we got like 2 scrimmages in, and that was it. And I had just become super close with these girls, and like the seniors, I just felt awful. You know, I was just like, man, you know, we didn't even get to play a real game yet this year. That was, and I really was looking forward to the coaching for the first time at like the high school level. So that kind of stung.
So what are the plans for the future now that you've graduated from college? Yeah. What's next?
I think it was last week I just got a job offer, full-time job offer for a DSS foster care caseworker in the Greenville.
Congratulations.
In Greenville area. So I will be staying local.
And you're hoping that you will be in the area, do the job, anything else in the life?
Not much.
Okay. All right. What? We'll keep that for the next podcast.
All right. Sounds good.
Who are some of the people, and I'm skipping to 11 here on your notes, but who are some of the people who've had a positive influence on you during your sports career?
Yeah, so I already mentioned one. It was James Morton. He, since I was 9 years old, kind of got me into it. And the nice thing and the really cool thing about him was he has stayed connected with me. We're very close throughout all the years. And actually this last year, my senior season, he flew to South Carolina to come watch a game. And so all the way from when I was 9 to 22, you know, he was there. And that was really cool. So he's been a huge impact in my life, both on and off the field, I would say. And then, obviously, Corey Morrell. He's a phenomenal human being. And he's a great coach. And he kind of took me under his wing a little bit when I got here, being so far away from home. And to this day, we've stayed close. We've coached travel teams together. We won a state championship coaching together. Like, I love his family, so definitely him too.
Very cool. So what are the things that you've learned while being a student athlete that are going to prepare you for those, for this new job, and then for the next phase of life beyond once the newness of the job wears off?
Yeah.
What are the things that you've learned that'll help you?
There's so many things, honestly, that being a student athlete helps prepare you for that you really don't realize until you get into, like, you know, the job force or, like, the real world. I think one of those things I was actually saying earlier was time management. I know that this job, I'm going to have a lot of caseloads and a lot of things I'm going to feel like I don't have enough time for. And so I think being able to be full-time athlete and full-time student has definitely helped me prepare for being able to time manage all my daily routine. So I think that's a huge thing. And then, like I was saying earlier, also, like, just a work ethic, not being lazy, giving all I have and everything I do, because, you know, that's the only way to really do it. And so I think those are some things that are really going to help me in this job that I've just gotten and just in my future in general.
So we're at question 12, and I picked 12 questions for you today because you've worn the number 12. And so what advice for those future number 12s out there in soccer world, or even as young women growing up in America today, what would be some advice that you would give to those number 12s?
I would definitely say, you know, build your confidence, be confident. We're all strong women. Like, we have literally the opportunity to do anything that we want to in America. So, like, that's a blessing, because a lot of places we can't just go out and, you know, get a job or, you know, do whatever, you know. And so I would just say, have some confidence, work hard at everything that you do. And then for the college athletes, you know, who wear number 12, you know, time is precious and it flies by. Like, you need to enjoy every single thing that you have, because before you know it, you're a senior and it's all done, you know?
Yes. Yes. And then you're almost 50 like me. Well, listeners, you have now met and heard from Rachel Curtis, number 12 from Rochester, New York. Rachel, thanks for being on the Vertical View. Well, we have reached the end of another episode of Vertical View. I want to thank Rachel Curtis for joining us today and wish her well as she begins the next phase of number 12's career. If you love Vertical View, please subscribe, rate, and give us reviews on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, or any of the platforms that you listen or get your podcasts. Also, for more information about me, follow me on Twitter at @VE_executive. For now, I'll see you next time on the Vertical View.